Wir lesen heute aus dem siebten, sorry, I'm in English, on the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number six, yes. Etad yonini bhutani, etad yonini bhutani, savanityupadadaya, aham kritnasya jagata, prabhava pralayastata, translation. All created beings have their source in these two natures of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world. Know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Purport. Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation, and matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. This material body is developed because spirit is present within matter. Please for a moment look at your material body, maybe your hands. Now you see what it is, a material body. So it has only developed because spirit is present within matter. Because you are there, the soul. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because that superior energy, spirit, soul, is present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the Super Soul Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter which combine to manifest this gigantic universal form are originally two energies of the Lord. And consequently, the Lord is the original cause of everything. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely the living entity, may be the cause of a big skyscraper, a big factory, or even a big city, but he cannot be the cause of a big universe. The cause of the big universe is the big soul or the super soul. In Krishna, the supreme is the cause of both the big and small souls. Therefore, he is the original cause of all causes. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad. Nityo nityananam chetanas chetanananam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajyari Satadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. It's sometimes very good for a devotee to make a profound stop, a halt, a discontinuation in his life and turn around and think very deeply about his life, her life. The first question the devotee has to ask himself or herself is, who am I really? I think this question is very, very important. It is a question which unfolds its power throughout the journey of our spiritual life. First, we will answer this question in a simple way. I am soul, I am not the body. Then we will go a little bit deeper and we will say, I am, as a soul, a servant of Krishna. And if we chant mantras like the Gayatri mantras, welcome, welcome. The particular details of our original spiritual nature might become revealed first as a vague hint, vague glimpse, vague feeling, but then by the power of the mantras, if they are properly chanted, our particular spiritual identity is revealed on deeper and deeper levels. So this question, who am I, is not a question which should be put to rest at any stage of our spiritual life. It's good to ask this question every day as a beginning of one's life. Because, my dear devotees, if you have answered this question, who am I, you will ask the next question, what am I meant to do? In the scriptures it is stated that in our spiritual nature there are seva vasanas, that means deep desires which impel us to do service. When you say I am the body, you will do service for the body. If you understand, however, that you are a part of Krishna, you will naturally want to do service for Krishna. See, this seva vasana is inherent, almost like fire is inherent in a match. And the fire is coming out of the match. Its strength is partially manifested in such a small flame. But when the same fire burns the town of Zurich into ashes, then the strength of the fire, which is inherent in the match, is fully manifested. So this example is meant to tell us that when we relate to our body and our country, our service is a little bit manifested, a little bit, small. But when we relate fully to Krishna, as a servant of Krishna, then our service inclination is experiencing its highest manifestation. It is a firestorm of energy. The moment a devotee wakes up to service. You know, it's so important to understand, to ask this question, who am I? Because with this question, you will either lit up a little bit, or when you answer this question, you will light up fully. Your full spiritual potency will become manifested. If you answer this question, who am I, in a spiritual way, that I'm a servant of Krishna, I will just serve him, you will see things come out of you which you don't even expect to be there. You know, when you have a match with a little fire, you don't usually expect that it can burn the whole town of Zurich, but it can. In the same way, when you look at yourself, you don't expect to do extraordinary things, but when you are relating yourself as a servant of Krishna, you will be able to do extraordinary things. Now, an example of doing extraordinary things in relationship to Krishna is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was chanting every day for the whole day, really. He slept 2 hours a day, and the rest of the time was spent either in silently meditating on his Japamala about the holy name, or he was dancing on the banks of the river Jamuna, and he was dancing, not Jamuna, Ganga, changing colors. He was really very, very, very engaged in the chanting of the holy name. Now, you can't engage in kirtan so much when you don't have any taste, when you don't have any rasa. You can't chant also japa on your mala, you know, so much if you don't taste rasa, that is a divine infusion of which comes from above and which clarifies what is your relationship in with Krishna. I don't know if you have ever tried to chant 192 rounds a day. Maybe some of you have tried to chant 32 rounds a day, or some of you have chanted 64 rounds a day, or some of you have chanted 120 rounds or 228, but you know, to chant for many, many years every day without fail 192 rounds is not possible. You see, you have to sit. Sometimes Haridas Thakur also danced, but he sat in one place and just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. And he did this as a service to Krishna. Mechanically, you can't, no one can chant so many rounds. Let us ask the question, what was Haridas Thakur's secret so that he could chant so many rounds without failure over so many years? Well, he has a very sweet secret, and I believe to understand Haridas Thakur's secret means for us to open the gates of bhakti so that we can also feel some bhakti. I would like to take you a little bit through the life story of Haridas Thakur with some new information which might help you to understand his secret. I don't want to tell the secret right now because I want you to be a little bit I want you to practice good listening. See, most listeners should explain it like this. They have already their ideas about spiritual life. And when they hear a lecture, the lecture will go a little bit like this, you know. Oops! Information will come, but it will just go next to them. It will not go into them. The second type of listener is, I should have a specially made cup for this, maybe Gaura Hari can drill some holes into this, is someone who listens to spiritual knowledge, but he doesn't apply it. He's maybe someone like a Hare Krishna devotee, a typical devotee. He gets every day a free class in the morning and a free class in the evening, and he already heard things so many times and is still miserable because he didn't apply it. So this type of listener is like a person, I can't show it to you, who listens, but because he never applies anything, all the spiritual knowledge goes out of the cup because it has holes. Dandarani Priya, Hare Krishna, and Mati. Now, the ideal listener, and I would like that you all become such listeners today, are devotees who really want to know, how can I make my spiritual life deeper? How can I make it work? I'm so materially attached. I'm not even a shadow of a devotee. I'm like Sachinandan, very fallen. This is too much. I can't bear this any longer. If you are like this, very eager to hear, you are like a cup and the spiritual knowledge, see what happens? It goes inside. See, nothing is lost. And you immediately apply it for your nourishment and for your, it gives you strength. It's very important when we listen to spiritual knowledge, don't be like the I know it all, or don't be like the as I hear it, but it won't make a difference in my life. I know it already. Everything goes. Be like someone who, let me hear if there is something for me which will make my spiritual practice work. It's very important. Hare Krishna, Sabina, von Vrindavan. Unglaublich, jetzt kommen sie alle, die Nektar-Vaishnavas. So, let us now hear, why could Haridas Thakur sit the whole day only with Krishna's holy name, chanting and chanting, not sleeping? And why could he say in the morning, what? Already the sun has risen? How did this day pass? This is unfair. It went so brisk, so fast. What is his secret? Listen very carefully. Haridas Thakur was not always like this. He once was Brahma, the creator of this world, who repented for his offense at Krishna's lotus feet. See, Brahma did not have faith in Krishna, and therefore he did a most terrible offense against Krishna. Krishna was eating with his cowherd friends at the bank of the Jamuna, and they were laughing and joking, and Krishna was so sweet with his curly locks of hair, and he was talking so sweetly with his cowherd boys. There was such a nice rasa or exchange between them. Then Brahma comes and finds faults in Krishna. Krishna was just leaning over and said to his friend, "Look at this bird," and the friend was going like, "Wow." Then Krishna took sweets from his friend's plate because he was hungry for his love of the devotees. And he ate, like sometimes when I'm with the Grihastas, they eat from each other's plate out of love and affection. So Krishna, Hare Krishna. Brahma saw this sweet gesture of intimacy, and he said, "What? This is God? The originator of the Vedas, who talk about what is clean and what is unclean behavior? This can't be God. He must be some village boy who is worshipped by his followers as some village god." And then Brahma became so arrogant that he said, "I will test him and see how he reacts." And he stole one after the other the calves and then the cowherd boys from Krishna. This was a very big offense, because Krishna wants to be together with his devotees. And when someone steals those he loves away from him, he becomes very much hurt. We find in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto that Brahma came to Krishna after everything was over and Krishna had shown him his powers, his extraordinary powers, by expanding in all the stolen cowherd boys and calves. The Brahma came down and asked for forgiveness. But do you know what Krishna did? He was still so hurt in his soft heart that he looked away from Brahma and just ignored him. He was not going to forgive him so easily. When Indra came and sent rain clouds, not like these, but really rain clouds, which were as strong as to affect an universal cataclysm or destruction, and just flooded the whole area of Braj so that everyone felt we will drown, then you might think Indra's offense was very big. He attacked Krishna's friends and cowherd boys. But for Krishna, it was an entirely different story. He lived in the Govardhan Hill, and for 7 days and nights, all the devotees of Braj could come under the Govardhan Hill and associate with Krishna. It is said by Kavi Kanapur that they just looked at beautiful Krishna and they felt there is a rain cloud and rain and thunder above the Govardhan Hill, but also underneath Govardhan Hill. There are two clouds and two lightning flashes. The first is the clouds which Indra has sent, and the lightning flashes which come from his thunderbolt. But he is so nice to us, Indra, because he has manifested another cloud which we can look at for 7 days. And that is Krishna, who is colored like the rain cloud and whose dhoti looks like the brilliant yellow flash. Isn't Indra nice? Every morning, the gopis thought, every morning Krishna leaves us in the morning to go to the forest of Vrindavan, and every evening he comes back. We have to wait for a whole day before our beloved comes before us. When Krishna finally in the evening came, the gopis greeted him with an arati and looked at him with unblinking eyes. And now the gopis said, we see him only in the morning when he leaves, and we see him briefly when he returns in the evening. But now for 7 days and nights, by Indra's mercy, we can always see Krishna. And the gopis blessed Indra. Your gopis are very powerful, most powerful by devotees of the Lord. They blessed him. May you live long, Indraji. You have brought us together with our beloved. But in Brahma's case, Brahma stole Krishna's cowherd boyfriends. And therefore, Krishna was angry with Brahma. Krishna always speaks from morning till evening. The Bhagavad Gita is what he spoke. Krishna is a famous talker. He always talks to all the residents of Vrindavan, to the cowherd boys, to the cows he talks in cow language, to the birds he talks in bird language, even to the bees he communicates and says, thank you for your bzzz. Krishna always talks, but in the case of the creator of the universe, he was silent because he felt so hurt. What Brahma did. So Brahma became very, very sorry. He came before Lord Krishna, and from all his 8 faces, tears streamed down. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And now you're silent, you're not even speaking to me. And he cried with 8, what is it? With 8 eyes. That's a lot. I mean, I have noted Madhati when she cries, when she comes and talks her story before, you know, I'm a preacher, and often Matajis come and tell their miserable story. They usually use up between 4 or, in extreme cases, 6 tissue papers, tempu, which I have ready for them. But that's only with 2 eyes. Brahma had 8 eyes from which rivers of tears came by. That's a lot. So when Krishna was silent, Brahma became really irritated. Brahma said, okay, what should I do? What should I do? I have heard you. How can I improve our relationship? And Lord Krishna finally spoke, and he said, go with your 8 eyes, see my pastimes in the places where I acted with my devotees. That will work for you. You have to understand, Brahma, there are many pastimes places in Braj. Go to all of them where I acted with my devotees. That's your medicine. So when Brahma had done this, he had done a Braj Mandal Parikrama, which is very purifying. Have you ever done the full Braj Mandal Parikrama? Any one of you? Radha Krishna has done. Uddhava? That the ultimate pilgrimage, it's really very, very recommended. Because if you go to, you should go to the pastimes places of Krishna and hear how Krishna acted in these pastime places with his devotees, and then you will feel you want to follow the examples of the devotees, and your heart is very purified, and you think of a relationship with Krishna, your own relationship, where you follow the example of the devotees. So, Brahma did all this, but when he came back, he was still shocked and shattered in his heart. He said, I don't feel my pride is yet gone. It is because of my false pride that I could not recognize you as a Supreme Lord. My dear devotees, you need to have eyes of love if you want to see Krishna, or if you want to understand Krishna consciousness. When your heart is full with pride, it is just not possible to see Krishna consciousness. You just can't understand it. It doesn't mean anything for you. It is boring at times, or theory. Only if you are coming in that mood of love. But love is very difficult. Love is extremely difficult to get by. So there is a precursor in Deutsch heißt ein Vorläufer of love, and that is humility. When you look with the eyes of humility, then you have counteracted efficiently pride. And through these eyes of humility, you can immediately understand Krishna's nature. Krishna could see that Brahma really wanted to build a relationship with him. Brahma had understood that he had offended Krishna, and Krishna didn't accept him any longer. That was a problem for him, because Brahma is considered in Vedic understanding the firstborn son of the Lord, who's born on a lotus flower. So he could understand he really messed up in his relationship with Krishna. He went too far. Krishna ignored him. So he requested him, can you please destroy the cause of my offense, which is the false pride? And Krishna could understand that Brahma meant it. And therefore he decided to do what he often does with his devotees. He decided to take everything away from Brahma. Brahma was the creator of the universe. He was, you know, known as such. You know, he was more than who is that? Mr. Obama, who is the president of America, or you know, he is the single most highest positioned jiva in terms of hierarchy in the universe. And Krishna decided, well, if he wants to be free from pride, I have to take his position away from him. And in this way, Haridas Thakur, Brahma was blessed by Krishna to lose his pride by becoming born in a family of Muslims. Now, becoming the chanter of the holy names. Now, this meant two things. When Haridas Thakur was born as a Muslim, and the Hindus didn't accept him. When he started to chant Hare Krishna, they went like, "Ah, this is too much, he's a Muslim spy." And they were very careful with him, and they didn't even touch, the brahmanas didn't even want to touch his shadow. They were just so disgusted with him. Now, when Haridas Thakur was born in the family of Muslims and started to chant Hare Krishna, for the Muslims, it meant he has become a heretic. And you know how Muslims deal with heretics. They either stone them, the whole village comes together and just stones them until they bleed from so many wounds and then lose their consciousness and die. Or they flog them. Flog means they take a whip and they just punish him. Haridas Thakur was not liked by anyone. Imagine this. He was really humbled. The Hindus turned against him. The Muslims turned against him. He lived at the outskirts of a village. You know, he didn't mix with people in the beginning. It was terrible. And then he was, you all know how he was tortured. Hare Krishna. Yesterday I heard about how the Chinese tortured the Tibetans. That makes your heart bleed. But when you hear how they how the Muslims tortured Haridas Thakur, I mean, oh my God, this is an incredible talk. Let us not even talk about it. It's too much. It's too much. We will not be able to sleep when we hear it. At another time in the morning, I can tell you what they did, how the skin came off and all these things, you know. Mel Gibson and Jesus, huh? It was too much. It was too much. So Haridas Thakur was so tolerant because he was so humble. You can only be tolerant, my dear devotees, if you are humble. If you are full of pride, the smallest thing upsets you and puts you on your high heels, and you become active in your defense. But if you are humble, you become very tolerant to bad weather, to bad propaganda against you, and so on. Yes, I deserve much worse, you say. Humility gives rise to tolerance. And therefore, Haridas Thakur could bear being flogged and whipped by his torturers. My dear devotees, Krishna often arranges for his devotees who really want to make advancement that he takes away what needs to be taken away. And as we can see in this case, when Krishna did this method to Brahma, it is the sign of his greatest mercy, because you can only start to develop a relationship to Krishna and Krishna consciousness from the position of humility. If you're proud, you just can't make a relationship with Krishna. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. In my Japa workshops, I encourage the devotees to do the earthquake meditation. What this means is, I read a book on earthquakes, you know. I had to read about something about post-traumatic growth for my Vedic way. That's a concept that in psychology, where you say, up till now, people think our traumas are very bad. In this concept, you learn how to use your traumas, the bad things which happen to you, for your growth, your internal growth. And they say in this psychology that just like an earthquake has three stages, also when something bad happens to you, there are three stages. And if you are a successful human being, you go through all of these. Let's go through an earthquake. The first earthquake is when it comes, your house breaks down. The second state is a state of total disorientation. Usually thieves come and plunder. Bhaktivedanta Goswami said when he was in Uzbekistan as a child and the earthquake came, then he stole a bed from the kindergarten when he was a child. It was his confession to us. So thieves come, tsunami comes, the Heuschrecken, how do you say this? You know, it's usually an ecological disaster. So some, how do you call the Heuschrecken? Zirp, zirp. Crickets. The crickets come, the rats go and eat whatever they can come. And then, after suffering the side effects of an earthquake, you actually find a free field for reconstruction. So when Krishna takes something away from you, out of his blessing, your health, your reputation, even someone who is near and dear to you, when he takes something away, it's like it feels like an earthquake, a complete destruction in the first beginning. Then you feel the side effects of the distractions. You need to reorient yourself. Your life is no longer the same now. But if you are, but if you take full advantage, you start to reconstruct your life just like an earthquake person who reconstructs his life on new fundaments. You're free to do anything now. So Krishna arranges earthquakes for his devotees, where he takes everything away from them. And if the devotees are a little bit, either if they are strong, or if they take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, the supreme strong, then they can reconstruct their lives on new fundaments and start something beautiful, something amazing, something totally detached from their old, maybe compromised life. Therefore, Haridas always kept this in his memory. I was once Brahma and I have been humiliated. I'm now an outcast as far as the Hindus are concerned and a heretic as far as the Muslims are concerned. No problem, I can chant now Hare Krishna. I'm so humble. And he chanted with great humility by taking shelter at the only person who could help him, Krishna. Once Haridas Thakur visited the state prison. And the prisoners who had heard about him saw he's a genuine saint and asked him for blessings. You know what Haridas Thakur said? May you always remain like this. Prisoners went like, my God, no, this is not what we wanted. When are we going to get our, wie sagt man, Entlassungsschein, you know, our note where we can get out of the prisoner. We thought we wanted to ask you this, and then they started to cry. Why? Why? Krishna, can't you save us? Haridas Thakur said, I didn't mean when I said, may you always be like this, that you should always remain in the prison. I meant you should always remain humble. Because it is Let us really imagine for spiritual life, that's the quality which we need. If we don't have it, there's no Ras in Krishna consciousness, no feeling. I was thinking like this. When I was for the first time for a long time in hospital, 1 month or so, and I came for the first time before the deity, I was a man who had been humbled by a surgery and the bad after effects of the surgery. And I was no longer the proud, healthy Sachinandan Swami. No, I was. Surgery had taken everything away. I was so weak for weeks. So I was very humble, and I came before the deities and I prayed to Krishna. And I could see this is Krishna on the altar. Immediately, because with the eyes of humility you can see, with the eyes of pride you are blind, so blind. Welcome, welcome. So this is this was the blessing of Haridas Thakur. See, sometimes we think, we talk a lot about humility in our movement, because it's known that this is the best mood from where you can approach Krishna. And sometimes, therefore, let me be humble. But you can see if someone is humble by looking at something else. Humility can be imitated, but tolerance cannot be imitated. So if you want to know if you have come to the place where you're really humble, then test your tolerance. Test it, and then if you see, oh my God, I'm so intolerant still, when something goes wrong, I'm so upset, then you know that, oh yes, I can still work on this precious gem of Vaishnav theology and practice. So Haridas Thakur is this case, was Brahma, and he became an outcast. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that he was the one who was most qualified to chant the holy names and be connected with Krishna from morning to evening. And therefore he made him the acharya of his mission, the namacharya, and gave him the highest spiritual post on the basis of his humility. The humbler you go, the higher you rise in the spiritual firmament. And the more humble you go in the material world, the more you sink into the mud. Hare Krishna. Good. This, for me, is a practical application on this verse. All created beings have their source in these two natures, of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world. Know for certain that I, Krishna, am both the origin and the dissolution. And I'm thinking, if you really want to act on the platform of who am I, that is a spiritual soul, a servant of Krishna, then we need to walk the ground of humility. So I'm now finished with my little lecture. I hope it was not so boring that you feel that I have killed you. Haribo. I will look at the watch now. It is 3 minutes to 9 o'clock. We have time for one more question. One question. Do you have a question? Who are all of you, young devotees? You just arrived from England, maybe? I can see. You're on your way to Italy. Welcome. Nice to see you. Yes. Vrinda Devi, you have... Yes, yeah.
I really remember times in my life where I felt falling asleep and getting too comfortable, and I started praying for an earthquake, and it came, and it helped me a lot because I really felt I can move on. But how can I maintain this humility? Do I always have to have another earthquake?
How nice you ask your question. I'm thinking at the moment very deeply about it, Vrinda Devi, and would like to share my thoughts on this. Obviously, it would be good if we don't need always another earthquake. You know, after all, we have to go on with our life in a continuous way. You know, I looked at a lecture. It was the last lecture which Bhakti Thitta Maharaj gave in Mayapur. I don't know if it was a very large... It was at the Panchatattva installation. Maharaj was telling something which really struck a chord in my heart. He said, now we all need to be clear that we need to go a little bit higher in our spiritual life. He connected this with the installation of Lord Chaitanya. He said, now our movement has to come out of its beginnings. We can't be beginners all the time. We have to go to the next bar. I think it's bar, that is an expression. I think it comes from the fitness studio. You put your instruments a little higher. So you put your expectation in yourself a little bit higher. So we all have to... And then he said, I suggest you to do a prayer. That is, my dear Lord, give me all the experiences I need to become a better servant. And then, my dear Lord, take everything away from me which needs to be taken away from me so that I become a better servant. So Maharaj is preaching, and I'm seeing it on the video, and I'm thinking in my case, oh, should I really pray, take everything away? I mean, if again this earthquake comes in my life, I had 5 years now, one earthquake after another, and I'm traumatized by them, you know. No, please, not another earthquake, you know. And then I felt not so nice that I was not ready to pray like this because I was afraid just of physical harm or you know. Then I discussed it with a devotee whom I considered to be more advanced than myself. And I said, how is it with you? Can you pray to Krishna from the depths of your heart? Krishna, take everything away from me which needs to be taken away and give me just everything I need to become a pure servant. And the devotee gave me an answer, Vrinda Devi, which I want to give to you today. It was an answer which moved my heart so much. He said, what do you think? Of course I can pray like this. Of course, I said, have you thought deeply about this? Of course. Yes. Yes. How do you? How is it so easy? He said, just look at Krishna. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He's the friend of his devotees. He's not some tyrant or some person who wishes bad to his devotees. And he cares for his devotees. And then he asked me, why are you afraid? I said, I don't want to go to another surgery. This were two surgeries in 2 years. That's too much for me. I don't want to lose people whom I love, who turn against me. This is killing me. I don't want. And I went through all my traumas, you know. And then he said, but Maharaj, look a little bit deeper. Was it so difficult for you, or did Krishna give you the strength to go through it? And then I remembered, everywhere where I went through, I felt so close to Krishna like I've never felt before. And I remembered the prayer of Queen Kunti, that she says, Vipadarshantu, give me this earthquake treatment again and again, you know, because at that time you were close. So I think we sometimes have such a, I think we should look more spiritually into our lives and see that when the Lord treats us with His special treatment, it is, He gives us the strength to go through it, and He clarifies our way so that a new construction can take place. And when the devotee said this to me so lovingly, Vrindadevi, I went into my room and I cried and I prayed. You know, I felt, my Lord, I'm always so unfaithful to you. I should pray this. And I prayed. I won't pray this every day because I'm still a beginner in spiritual life, but sometimes I will pray this. Sharanagati. So this was one question and one answer, exactly as we had planned it. Now it's 4 minutes after 9. I think we should end here. We have more programs here, both in Zurich. I think I don't know. Is tomorrow? Tomorrow evening, we have another fascinating subject matter. I'm already preparing notes for it. Please, it's a surprise. Please come if you are here in Zurich, and please be with us. It's so nice to spend these evenings together, thinking about Krishna consciousness deeply. I want to also invite all of you to come to our summer camp, Swiss summer camp in the Alps. Is really the best experience of both worlds, spiritual and the beautiful herbal glaciers of Switzerland. Have a very nice night, rest well, although it's almost full moon, it's not so good. Full moon means the mind is more active, but see you soon, and Hare Krishna, good night.